I'm going to read verse 23, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you once again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I thank you for each person that's come. And I pray that each one of us has come today for the right reason. That, Lord, we've come with a hunger in our heart to hear from you. And, Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us now to have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message that you have for us. And Lord, help us to apply it to any area of our life where it needs to be applied. God, give us grace. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you most of all for dying on the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. And we're thankful that because you live, we can face tomorrow. Thank you that we have heaven as our home and hope in our heart today. And Lord, I pray you would help me now as I try to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse we just read, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, shows that every person as the Lord is a Trinity. As you know, God is a Father, Son, and a Spirit. Man, created in the image of God, is a spirit, soul, and body. And just as Jesus, the Son, who was given a body, as the Scripture says, made the invisible God visible, it is our body that makes us visible to the human eye. We nor anyone else can see our spirit or soul. So it is our body, you might say, that makes the invisible visible. And the Scripture has much to say about each part of our being. If you get you a Bible concordance or whatever technology of the day you want to use and check references, you'll find there is much said in the Scripture about our soul, about our spirit, and about our body. And today in the message, I want to focus for a few minutes on the believer's body. As a matter of fact, that is the title for the message today, the believer's body. And what I'm going to try to do is point out to you six main truths that apply to the body, not necessarily the soul or spirit, but to the body of every individual who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. And since I have 6 points, I'm just going to forego any more of an introduction and get right on into the message. And I want to say, first of all, this morning, concerning the body of the believer, that our bodies are a priority to the Lord. Our bodies are a priority to the Lord. And this is really simple, but it's very important as well that we understand. It's not just our soul and spirit that are important to the Lord. I think sometimes we tend to think that it's the spirit or the soulish part of us that God focuses on the most, but I want you to realize, if you don't, that your body is equally important with the Lord. It is a priority to Him. He is concerned with every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. And this is clear from all that is said in His Word about our body. And we're going to look at some of the things that the Bible says later on in the message. But look right here once again at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where we started out. And notice Paul says, as he's bringing this epistle to a close, "And the very God of peace sanctify you," notice the word, "wholly." Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, which means completely. He's praying that the God of peace would sanctify each one of those believers completely. And he's talking about them being sanctified in every part of their being. Because notice he goes on to say, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, I pray God, your whole spirit be preserved blameless. I don't pray that your whole soul be preserved blameless. But he says, I pray that God will preserve your spirit, your soul, and your body. He includes the body in his prayer for these believers, which shows me that my body is a priority. He doesn't leave that out. He doesn't just focus on the spirit and the soul. He says, I want God to sanctify you and preserve you in every single part of your being, which means that every part of me, my spirit, my soul, and my body, is a priority to the Lord. I believe this is something that each one of us need to understand. And I think it's one reason why Paul said, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Notice carefully what he said. He said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. Sub is under, right? Like you got a submarine, that's something that goes under the water. If you have a subway, that's a train generally that runs under the ground. Sub is under. He says, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. What he's saying is I'm not going to allow my body to be in charge of me. I'm going to keep my body in subjection. And the reason why is Paul understood. He understood that his body was a priority with God and that the Lord was taking notice of how he treated his body as well as how he used his body. And Paul went on to say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, every one of us shall stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and give account for the things, listen, done in the, what's the word? Body, whether they be good or bad. Paul realized that it wasn't just his spirit and soul that he was going to give account for. He realized it wasn't just his spirit and soul, that spiritual part of him that God was concerned with. He understood also that his body was a priority with God and that one day he would meet the Lord and stand and give account for what he did while in this body down here. So please understand from the very outset today that your body is a priority to the Lord. You don't need to dismiss that. Understand God's taking note. He's paying attention. Y'all realize that today? He's not just looking down into you to the part that none of the rest of us can see. Now, he is. He's looking at your soul. He's looking at your spirit. The Bible talks about how he knows our heart, and he's concerned with all that. But he's not just looking at your soul. He's not just paying attention to your spirit. He's looking at your body and what you do with your body or how you treat your body. One day, you're going to give account for the things done in the body. So your body's a priority. Let's move on. Here's the second thing. And I want you to turn with me now back to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. And really the next three of these truths we're going to look at are found right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First of all, your body, as a believer, as a Christian, is a priority to the Lord. He pays attention. Second thing I want you to notice from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is that your body, not just your soul, not just your spirit, but your body is the property of the Lord. The property of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 19. The Bible says what? Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, obviously. That's why it's 1 Corinthians. These are saved people that he's talking to, believers. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And notice this, and ye are not your own. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, according to verse 19, he's talking about our body, right? He says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own." So your body does not belong to you. Now, we use the terminology, our body. I've used it already in the message. But technically speaking, it's not our body. Amen. I mean, I'm reading it to you right out of the Bible, and you're not your own. Look at it, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. A price has been paid, and your body has been purchased, and your body has been purchased by the Lord. Now, what was the price paid to purchase your body? Well, that would be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood that was shed on Calvary not only paid to purchase your soul and your spirit, but it also paid to purchase your body. Your body is the property of the Lord. That thing that your spirit and soul lives inside of doesn't belong to you if you are a believer. It belongs to the Lord. It's His property. And seeing how it is His property, that means this body is not mine. Are y'all listening to me? It's not mine to do with as I please, right? If it's not my property, if it doesn't belong to me, then it's not mine to do with as I please. My body is the Lord's to do with as He pleases. Now think about that. It's real simple, but think about it. Say you go out and you purchase something. You pay whatever the price is. Let's just say a house, for example. You need a house, you want a house, you see one, okay, I want that house. You get the money and you go pay the price, whatever they're asking for. Whatever that amount is, you pay that, you purchase it. Well, that home is now your property, right? Now, wouldn't it be strange if it's your home, you paid for it, it belongs to you, wouldn't it be strange if somebody, a neighbor, a family member, somebody that maybe you didn't even know just shows up one day and starts barking out orders and telling you what you are going to do or what you're not going to do with your home? I don't imagine anybody in here would put up with that very long, would you? And why would that bother you? Why would it bother you if a stranger or even somebody you knew walked up and started saying, "Well, now you can't paint your house that color. You can't do that. No, hold on. You can't put on an addition right there." No, absolutely not. "No, you can't decorate that room that way. We just ain't going to put up with that." Why would that bother you? It's real simple, isn't it? It would bother you because it don't belong to them. They didn't pay for that house. They didn't make the sacrifice and spend the money. You paid for that house. You paid whatever the price was, and that property belongs to you. So you are within the right to do with that home whatever you want. Amen? That's just the way it is. Now, y'all following my line of thinking here? If this thing right here belongs to him, and it does according to what I just read, I am not within my right to tell him what I'm going to do or ain't going to do with this body or what he can or can't do with this body right here. This is his property. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, my body became his. It is not my property anymore. I don't have the right to tell God what he can or can't do with my body. I can't just make up my mind and decide, "Well, I'm going to do this with my body or I'm not going to do that." I have to allow the owner of the property to give the order. And this is something that I think we really need to keep in mind, because one thing that I have heard, and I know y'all have heard it probably as well, I've heard it a lot of times, this statement here, from people who want to justify some course of action that they intend to take, or perhaps it's one they already took, or maybe it's one they're in the process of taking. I don't know. But I've heard this statement so many times. "Well, it's my body." Have y'all heard that? "It's my body, so I can do with it what I want to." Well, if you're saved, it is not your body, and you do not have the right to do with it whatever you want. I have heard many times ladies who decide, "Well, I'm going to have an abortion." People will confront them about it. "Well, it's my body. I'll do with it what I want to." Yeah, and you'll answer to God for it too, because it ain't your body. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it ain't your body. Do you hear me? That may not be correct English, but you understand what I'm saying. It ain't your body to do with what you want. But that's the mindset that a lot of people have. It's my body. And you'll hear it on TV. You'll hear these liberals, and it's more and more common now. You sit and listen, just about every news outlet or affiliate that you listen to now, just a bunch of egghead liberals is what they are. Amen. That's what it is. And you'll hear them all the time. Well, they got their right. It's their body. They can do whatever they want, and we won't pass legislation to make sure they can do whatever they want to with their Bible. Let me tell you something. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the legislation has already been passed, my friend. I'm looking at it right here this morning. And that body that your soul and spirit resides in does not belong to you anymore. And you don't have the right to make whatever decision you want and do with your body whatever you want. You are to be in subjection to what God says about your body, because He's the owner of your body. And if you don't accept that, then you're going to have the Lord to deal with. The property of the Lord. I got to move on. Number three, we'll stay right here for this third one. Not only is my body the priority, it's a priority of the Lord and the property of the Lord, but the third thing I learned from the Bible is that my body is possessed by the Lord. It's possessed by the Lord. Look at verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" Which is in you. He said that to every believer in the church of Corinth, right? Y'all follow me here? Y'all done went to sleep on me today. Y'all still with me? Which is in you. He said that not to just certain ones in the church at Corinth, right? But to every single believer in that church. Not just to certain ones. This nonsense that some saved people's got the Holy Spirit and some saved people don't have the Holy Spirit, it's just that. It's nonsense. It's not the Bible. He said to every believer in the church of Corinth that the Holy Ghost is in you. Everyone in that church had the Holy Spirit in them. So where does the Lord reside when it comes to a believer? In our body, right? That's what he says. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? He gave me the Holy Ghost the very moment that I trusted His Son as my Savior. Right then, I received the Holy Spirit. He came to live inside of me. My body is possessed by the Lord. If you're saved, your body is possessed by the Lord. He lives in you. Now, why does that matter? Why does it matter that I understand the truth that the Lord lives in my body? Why is that significant at all? Well, one reason why it's significant is because wherever I go, the Lord is present. Whatever I do, the Lord is present. Right? Y'all understand that seeing how He lives in here, wherever I go, I take Him with me. Whatever it is, whatever kind of activity I'm involved in, well, I got the Lord right there, which means that He knows everything I'm doing, and I'm involving Him in the things that I do. Now, as long as I'm doing what's good and godly, that's all right. But what about when I go somewhere I have no business going as a Christian? I'm dragging the Lord right along with me into that mess, ain't I? What about when I'm doing something that I have no business doing? Well, I got the Lord right there with me. When I'm sitting there looking at something on TV that I know is a sin and wickedness and grieves God, well, guess who's sitting right there with me? The Lord. When I'm on my phone, ain't nobody around, I'm looking at stuff I got no business looking at. Guess who's right there with me? Y'all follow me? You need to understand. In this body here, as a Christian, resides the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And wherever you go, He's right there. Whatever you do, the Lord is involved in that. Paul even talks right here in this same chapter, and we don't have time to go into all of it, but if you look back up at verse 15, he talks about our bodies being the members of Christ, and then he says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? He talks about fornication on down in them verses, and the idea is that when I'm guilty of fornication, I'm involving the members of Christ in that. That shows that when I do wrong, I'm just bringing the Lord right on up in that wrong that I'm doing. Shame on me. It'd be bad enough if what I did just involved me. But to bring the Lord up in it when it's wrong, shame on me. Think about that. Just think about it. The next time you all by yourself and you're doing something you know you ain't got no business doing, just remember who's right there with you the whole time. The Lord is. He knows what's going on. Got to move on. Number four. Right here in the same text. My body is to be used to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. To praise the Lord. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Who they belong to? Which are God's. They belong to Him, right? It's His property. But it says we're bought with a price, therefore, because I'm bought with a price, I'm not my own, I belong to Him, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm to glorify God in my body. What that means is I'm to use my body to glorify God. The way that I use my body, the members of my body, is to be for the glory of God. I'm to make sure that I do things that honor Him. I'm to make sure that I refrain from anything that would dishonor Him. That's bringing glory to God through my body. You understand this morning that you can use your body in a way that displeases God, that shames and humiliates the Lord? And it's all over the world. It's all around us. Matter of fact, can we be real about it this morning? You use your body in ways that doesn't please God, don't you? Yeah, you do. Just like Brother Keith does. For example, this thing right here up underneath your nose, do you realize that this is what the scripture refers to as a member of your body? This mouth, these lips, that tongue, your throat, all of that. You know what that's part of? That's not part of your soul or your spirit. What's that part of? That's part of your body. So guess what? When you gossip, I know nobody does that, do they? Nobody gossips. But when you gossip, guess what you're doing? You're using your body in a way that dishonors God, right? When you slander somebody, when you backbite, when you lie about people, you know what you're doing? You're using your body in a way that dishonors God. What the Bible says is I'm to glorify God in my body. So if it's something that would dishonor God, then I don't need to say it. Man, it's quiet in here this morning. I didn't realize the tithe was going to bother you that bad. Anytime you take a member of your body, whether you're talking about your fingers, your feet, your legs, and all the parts of your body, and you use them for some type of activity that is sinful in the eyes of God, you are dishonoring the Lord. You're using what belongs to Him in a manner that displeases Him. You're not bringing glory to God. The Bible says we're to use our body to glorify God. I can tell you one way that you don't honor the Lord is by involving your body in wicked things the Bible talks about, fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that kind of stuff. That's wrong. I know it's real prevalent in the world today, but we talked about it in Sunday school. Just because the world does it doesn't mean we ought to do it. Just because the world says it's all right doesn't mean it's right, friend. Matter of fact, the world says it's right. I can just about show you in the Bible that it's wrong. How are you using your body? To glorify God? Here's another one. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We fix to be done. Turn to Romans chapter 12. A lot of people today try to use their body to bring glory to their self. And y'all think about what I just said while you turn into Romans chapter 12. I'm running out of time, so I'm trying to hurry through all this. My body is to be used for the purpose of bringing glory to God, which means that I do what glorifies Him, or I refrain from what dishonors Him. It also means that I use my body in a way that brings glory to God. I instead of using my mouth for something evil, I use my mouth to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. That glorifies God in my body. I use my eyes to read my Bible. I use my mouth to pray. I use my feet to take me to the home of somebody in need. Y'all understand what I'm saying? These are ways that you glorify God in your body. There's a lot of people today that's using their body to bring glory to their self, just to get some glory laid upon them where they can brag about their self. But look here at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Here's another truth about your body as a believer. Your body is to be presented to the Lord. Presented to the Lord. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. God doesn't want you to kill yourself. It's a living sacrifice. That means he wants you to be alive, and he wants you to live a certain way. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, holy. How do I give my body? How do I present my body a living sacrifice? Well, by living a holy life is how I do that. And the thing about a sacrifice, if you go back studying the Old Testament, when the person came to the temple or the tabernacle, whichever one it was, and they brought their sacrifice or their offering, once they gave that to the priest, from that point forward, they had no control over that sacrifice at all. It was God's to do with as he chose. They had no control over it. For me to present my body a living sacrifice means that I put my body on the altar, the spiritual altar, and say, Lord, here's my body. I'm giving it to you. You gave it to me. I'm going to give it back to you. You realize that you have a body because he gave you one, right? Okay, he gave me this body. So I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice. I'm going to say, Lord, you gave this to me. Just like he gave every single animal to those people in the Old Testament that they gave to God. That's all that was, just people giving back to God what he had gave to them. Whenever you put your money in the offering plate, you know what you're doing? That really ain't your money, you know, my money. It really ain't yours, is it? He gave it to you. You're just giving back to God what he gave you. That's what you're doing. When I give him my body, it's just me saying, Lord, I'm giving back to you what you gave to me. You gave me a body, so here it is. I'm going to give it to you. And God, my hands are off. My hands are off. You do with this body whatever you want. That's the only way it's a real sacrifice. If you try to handle it, keep your hands on it, manipulate it, well, now, Lord, I'm giving you my body, but I don't want you to use it this way. Don't do this. I give you rights, Lord, even though it belongs to you. I'm going to tell you what to do. You don't do this, but you can do this. That's not presenting your body a living sacrifice to God. When you present your body a living sacrifice, you put yourself on the altar and say, God, this body belongs to you. You do with it whatever you choose. You realize that if you do that, there is the possibility that he may choose to do something with your body that you don't want him to do. Do you realize that? You put it on his altar. You don't call the shots. You give it to him. If he chooses to do whatever, he is within his right as the property owner to do that with your body, which means you don't need to get bitter. You don't need to get mad. You don't need to get angry and upset and put out with the Lord. It's his to do with whatever he chooses, even if it's something we don't necessarily want him to do. But you present your body. And look at this real quick, the last part of verse 2. Accept unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. What he just said here, he's not asking you to go above and beyond the call of duty. He's not asking you to do something unreasonable. He says, what I'm telling you to do right now, when I tell you to present your body a living sacrifice, I'm just telling you to do what is reasonable, your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable for me to give my body to the Lord as a sacrifice and let him do with it whatever he wants? Why is that my reasonable service? Well, look at the very beginning of the verse. There's a lot of reasons, really. But he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let me ask you this. God shown you any mercy today? The greatest mercy he ever showed you is in salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us, what the Bible says. Now if we just stop right there, and we can't, not in be honest, because God has shown us far more mercy than just our salvation. But if we just stop right there, just in the mercy that he showed me in saving my soul from burning in hell, should be all the motivation I need to give him my body and take my hands off of it. His mercy in that. That alone is enough for me to say, Lord, here's my body. I'm giving it to you. And you do what you want to with it. Now here's the last thing, and I'm not even going to make you turn there because I'm out of time. Philippians 3:21. One day, thank the Lord, our body will be made perfect by the Lord. The Bible talks about how it's going to change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body. Those of you in here that are still young and vibrant, not overweight, still flexible and limber, and you can run and you can jump and you can flip and you can fall and get right back up and everything's good. Your back don't hurt. You don't have any arthritis. You can still see good, don't have glasses and all that. What I just said probably means nothing to you. Really, it probably doesn't. You're young and all you're seeing right now is the life before you. Right? Am I telling the truth? But you just hang on a while. Just hang on. And one day later on down the road, when a preacher stands up and says, one day the Lord's going to make your body perfect, you're going to say amen to that. Amen. It's going to mean something to you then. When you begin to see yourself slowly declining and things not working the way they used to work, you're going to appreciate the fact that one day he's going to take this thing right here and make it perfect, where it will never ever be sick again, never ever hurt, and never ever die. Ain't that going to be wonderful? Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. And the Lord, I do pray that to each